Hey there, this is Jason Hensley with the Magnify Him Together podcast, and in this episode, we are going to be talking about our interactions with God. How is it that we view Him? What kind of God is He to us? Because God is very flexible, and interestingly, He appears to base our experience of Him on how we view Him. Just think about that. God bases how we will experience Him on how we view Him. So let me just explain this a little bit more. I think perhaps the best way to see this is to look at an example. So Numbers chapter 14, the children of Israel are on the cusp of the promised land. They are about to go in, they send the spies in, and the spies come out and they say, wow, this is a land of plenty, this is great, but the people are giants, right? We know the story. They say, therefore, we are going to die. There's no way we can survive this. That's how they view God. They view God as a God who cannot save. Yes, He promised the land. Yes, He said He would bring them in, He would defeat their enemies, but how could He defeat these giants? The giants are too big. God is a God who cannot save. This is how they view Him. And so listen to what He says. This is Numbers 14, starting at verse 26. Verse 26 says, the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, verse 27, how long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Verse 28, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Did you hear that? God says, here's my judgment against you. Well, actually, it's exactly what you said to me. Isn't that fascinating? God's judgment is not something that He came up with right there. It is what they had said to Him. As I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Verse 29, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and of all your number, listed in the census from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. In other words, God says, I will deal with you according to your view of me. You said I couldn't save you, therefore I won't save you. Think about that. Our interactions with God are characterized by how we view God. Isn't that remarkable? God will treat us according to the way that we view Him. So, in another example, this is from Jeremiah chapter 7. Consider what the people did in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah chapter 7, here's what it says. It's the same idea. But in Jeremiah 7, it's about idolatry. So these people worshipped these idols and saw the idols as though they represented God. So consider this. Verse 30, Jeremiah 7, verse 30 says, for the sons of Judah have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set their detestable things in the house that is called by my name to defile it. So here they were in the temple, in God's temple, worshiping these idols. And so I would suggest that there was this kind of like hybrid worship going on here in the temple. Verse 31 says, and they have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command. And so, again, you get this idea that this was to God. They were burning their children to God. And God says, I never asked for that. Right? Which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no more be called Topheth or the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. For they will bury in Topheth because there is no room elsewhere. The dead bodies of this people will be food for the birds of the air, for the beasts of the earth, and none will frighten them away." God says, "I didn't want you to burn your children." Right? That's what he says there. "I never commanded it, never came into my mind. I didn't want this. However, this was how you worshiped me. This was how you envisioned me. You treated me as a God who loved death, who wanted you to sacrifice your children. Therefore, this valley will be filled with death." They're not going to call it the Valley of the Son of Hinnom anymore. Instead, it will be called the Valley of Slaughter, because their dead bodies will fill it up. So God says, I'll treat you the way that you thought I was. You envisioned me this way? Well, you envisioned me as a God of death. Therefore, that's the kind of God I will be to you. And death will fill this place. Finally, one more example. You remember the parable of the minas? Sometimes called the parable of the pounds. In this parable, there are 10 servants, and the servants are given 10 minas. So one mina goes to each servant. And so the different servants come and they say, "Look, Lord, your mina made 5 minas. Look, Lord, your mina made 10 minas." And so they explain how these minas have grown and done well. Then finally the last servant comes, and he had 1 mina, and the mina didn't grow. Now, I think in a lot of our interpretation of this parable, we often look at this servant and we say, "Ah, well, see, he should have done something with what he had." And that's true. But have you ever thought about what he said? And how he viewed God? Listen to this. This is Luke 19. And it's verse 20. Luke 19, verse 20 says, "Then another came saying, 'Lord, here's your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow.'" Think about those words. A servant essentially says, "You had these unethical practices. You didn't deposit this, but you take it anyway. You reap in places where you never sowed the seed. And I think you're scary. So therefore, I didn't want to have anything to do with your mina. I just hid it away, and here you go. Now, let me go because you scare me." Right? That's what the servant is saying. Now, with that, listen to what the master says. He said to him, "I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow? Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest?" He said to those who stood by, "Take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. Do you see what just happened there? The master said, "I will condemn you with your own words. Your view of me is who I will be. Now you have reason to have been afraid." So how do we view God? Because God will be how we view him. I don't want to be misunderstood here. I'm not just saying we can, make up some view of God. I think this is the key point. Our view of God shouldn't just be developed from our own thoughts. It shouldn't be developed from our own experiences, although that's part of it. Our view of God must come from the scriptures. Because when it does, then we realize that our God is a God who loves. Our God is a God who joys in mercy. And so then, when our own experiences don't seem to fit that, we can say, but we know who God is. We know and believe that He is a God of abundant love, that He is a God who overcomes. So, where does that leave us? What it means is that we need to see God as He really is. Because when we have these mistaken views of Him that are so austere and so scary, then that's who He becomes. He will treat us according to our mistaken view. And that's not what we want. Therefore, let's spend time in this book. Let's get to know Him. Because that's what He wants. And when we do come to know Him, we will be amazed at how much greater, how much more merciful, how much kinder He is than anything we could have ever made up. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time on the Magnify Him Together podcast.